Hello, welcome to this week's Sunday Supplement. It's your regular look back at the events of the past week and you look forward to what's coming up over the next week. Team today, Assistant Editor Carl Jones and Senior Feature Writer Ben Bentley. I'm guessing that things like elections and ash might be events that have clouded our views this week.
Things are erupting everywhere, aren't they, this week? The volcanic ash side, if we start with that, I mean, we at the Shropshire Star have been hit over the past week. Like many local businesses, we've got getting on for 11 or 12 people who've been stranded in various parts of Europe over the past week. Of course, the good news on that is it means we've got correspondents out on the scene to report about what's going on, but we've had writers stranded in Portugal, in Spain.
Malta, I think there's been one.
Exactly, yeah. Malta, Austria, the Canary Islands. So, you know, we're all telling the same sort of, say, Dunkirk spirit type tales of how the Brit communities are getting together, but keeping their fingers crossed. And I think the worst part of it over the past week has been the, is it or isn't it okay to fly? You know, 1 minute airspace is cleared, then it's closed again, then it's open again. And you can only imagine sort of what that's like for families who've got children that they took away over the Easter holidays.
Well, I guess the flip side of that, there's also been people who were due to go away who have been unable to because of the confusion and because of the backlogs in flights and things like that. So it's still, as we, you know, get to the end of the week, it's still kind of clearing the backlog. And
I think, you know, we're just over a week since it all kicked off really now, and the feedback we're getting from, we were talking to the local insurance brokers at Henshaws in Newport and Shrewsbury, you know, who were saying that really it's going to take quite a long time to untangle what you can claim, and when you found out what you can claim, how quickly are you actually going to be able to get your money back? And because Ryanair's run into trouble, haven't they, over flouting European regulations.
Yeah. Didn't that Dunkirk spirit kind of slightly change once people started to discover what they could or could not claim back? An act of God is one thing, but if, you know, under EU regulations, I think, you know, as you say, some air travel companies have been trying to sort of shirk their responsibilities.
Well, there was the announcement in the middle of the week from Michael Leary, who said that Ryanair weren't going to pay, and then a day later he said yes, they are going to pay. But it seems that the caveat is in the European law it says reasonable costs, and there's never previously been a definition of reasonable costs, so that's just going to run, and there'll be inevitably court cases between customers who want. If they're in a five-star hotel and that's the only accommodation available, is that reasonable or isn't it?
Well, you know, and if you've booked a holiday in a five-star hotel and you're then stuck there for an extra week, is it reasonable to say, okay, well, I want five-star accommodation then? If you're camping in the south of France, you know, do you get a tent? You know, the thing that really stuck in my craw the most is the companies who've been blatantly profiteering at these victims' expense, you know, the ones who want to hire a coach to get up to Calais or want to hop on a tunnel or a ferry crossing, and some of the prices they've been quoted is absolutely disgraceful.
And also another way that they were profiteering on Thursday at the end of last week, they were also starting to advertise with lots and lots and lots of seats available because of cancellations, so they're selling what's become available at higher prices. I guess the election as well, we had the debate towards the end of last week again. It seems that didn't have quite the profound effect that the first one did, and it's
interesting, isn't it, because I suppose the sort of the curiosity value is never quite the same for the second one. Everybody seemed to think that Nick Clegg had it all to lose in that debate on Thursday, and the impression is he may have lost a little bit of it, but he certainly didn't lose it all. And everyone is pointing, certainly the feedback we're getting from our reporters, and you've been doing doorstep campaigns as well, is that everyone's expecting, I think taking it for granted now, it's going to be a hung parliament, and how that actually makes people vote is going to be one of the most interesting things, isn't it? Because if they think that previous elections, the Lib Dems have maybe just been a minor distraction getting in the way of a battle between the two parties, if they don't think that anymore, it could be more interesting, I think, locally than a lot of people
Well, there's certainly the Ludlow seat, which I'll be going along to cover, and that's in the past 10 years, that's one that's flipped from side to side, and that's, I think, that's certainly in the top 15 of Liberal Tory marginals. Though they've got a strong MP there who's a local man who's done well there, so there's lots of factors, and also the return of Christopher Gill, who was a former MP for Ludlow for Conservatives, and then so that seat specifically, I suppose, is one to watch for that Lib Conservative kind of contest. But overall, I'd imagine Shropshire is going to be pretty resolutely blue at the end of the.
I think that's what everyone's expecting. Interestingly, on Tuesday, we're going away from Shropshire to go and have a look at one of the more interesting seats nationally, which is Luton South. where Esther Ranson's standing up against a former BBC Radio Shropshire presenter, Stephen Rhodes, and Shirley Tart's been down to meet Esther on the campaign trail, so we'll be publishing her feature on Tuesday.
Much else coming up next week?
Well, next week we've got an interesting piece which Ben can probably tell you more about than I can. Our main page 8 piece on Monday. I mean, bus drivers haven't had the greatest of press over the last few days. I mean, whether you saw
there was
like
a National Express guy who was reading a book as he was driving his coach or something like that.
Yeah, some helpful customer has posted the video on YouTube, haven't they? And I don't think he's in the employ.
Just
Travel West Midlands.
Wasn't the highway code?
I don't got a funny feeling it probably wasn't. But I mean, you've been, Ben, there was been talk, wasn't there, a few weeks ago about some bus drivers in Telford area being sent off for anger management classes to improve their manners.
Exactly, yeah. Some bus drivers perhaps not set the best example. But I went out to sort of test this idea, just to sort of see what the feeling was amongst passengers. And almost everybody I spoke to had got a negative story to tell. But on the other hand, I went out and sort of tried to catch buses and did catch buses and got on and off buses and looked for advice from bus drivers. And I just found that they were kind of pretty much nice people, really, and helpful. And if I was a passenger, I'd be quite pleased.
You can always pick out the exceptions to the tale, can't you? And people do, and they remember the bad experiences.
Well, exactly,
more than the good, don't they?
What
we're obviously keen to do with this feature is get people coming to us and saying, look, what's your experiences? Have you got bus drivers that are going the extra mile to help people out? Let's hear from them as well, because bad news finds its own way out and good news needs a bit of a kick up the backside
sometimes, doesn't it? But travelling is a fairly stressful thing to do, whether you're kind of travelling on a train. You've probably got a bad train story if you travel on an aeroplane this week, maybe, hopefully. You've got a bad plane story. You know, it's waiting and hanging around and trying to get from A to B is never the easiest thing to do.
And I would imagine that sometimes bus drivers do have their patience tested by some of the paying clients who hop on board.
Yeah.
You know, you see things and you hear anecdotes. You know, you can imagine some of the verbal abuse that they have to put up with.
I always find them pretty helpful. The sort of times, you know, whether it's locally or whether it's elsewhere, and you know, usually say cheers and they're all yep, no problem and all that sort of stuff. They all seem to be reasonable, but I'm sure an interesting piece to read. There's one as well to bring to the party. There's video still online. Will Holland, the chef from Labacas in Ludlow, he was on Great British Menu all of last week. The conclusion to that was on Friday, and that's still on the iPlayer on BBC. And also, we've got our own video at ShropshireStyle.com, where we went to interview him there, and he spoke about the food that he does, which is the same day in, day out as the stuff he did on the TV this week. And I think that's pretty much it for...
Yeah, I suppose one of the other big talking points we're going to have over the coming week, football season's grinding to an end. Telford United have parted company with their manager and assistant manager, Rob Smith and Larry Chambers. That story broke on Friday.
I think I can try and link football stories with Ben's feature for Monday with the a national story. Charles, is it Nzongba?
Nzongba, I know where you're going here.
I don't.
Yeah, it was a brilliant story at the end of last week. There's a Wigan footballer who, and I don't know chapter and verse of this, but briefly, a Wigan footballer who I think was accused of or arrested for allegedly getting somebody else to do the written part of his
highway code driving test.
Yeah,
absolutely. So one can only guess that the applicants for the Telford United job are only hope filling their own application forms. come the end of the season, I think AFC Telford are just hanging fire to. They've obviously got a few weeks to sort themselves out now, haven't they? But they've had a fairly, by their standards, disappointing season. And
it's the first time for a long time that they haven't been in the playoff positions come the end of the season.
It's been pretty much unbridled success. They've had a couple of playoff disappointments, but before that, a couple of promotions, a cup, a couple of cups, and so. But you know, fan numbers have started to dwindle down at the Buckshead this season, and. You can see why, you know, Lee Carter obviously doesn't want the club to lose the momentum that it's got. So
you'll be able to read more on the appointment of successors to Rob Smith and Larry Chambers in the sports section coming up over the next week. We'll be following the speculation there. There'll be your regular news, sports and features. Don't forget to log on during the week to ShropshireStyle.com to your news bulletins, and we'll be back with another bulletin next week. Thanks for joining us.